This edition of The Disgruntled Screenwriter is brought to you by listeners like yourself. Go on over to the iTunes store, look under podcast, do a search for The Disgruntled Screenwriter, and subscribe. Those numbers can only help. With what? I don't really know yet, but give it a try. I'll thank you later, maybe.
California, something out there I just don't get. I know your friends out there must think I'm pretty strange, because I dress as if the weather's gonna change, but it never does. I hate California.
Hello and welcome to The Disgruntled Screenwriter. I'm Jonathan Hardesty. Here's the scoop. TDS is a podcast about the ins and outs of screenwriting, from the point of view of a screenwriter wannabe. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll perhaps gain some new perspective on the craft of screenwriting. This show comes to you in three acts, like the three-act structure of most screenplays. And for those of you who believe in four-act structure, you guys can go fuck yourselves. We begin with Act 1, but first, an unpaid ad for a program that I love. Celtics, the best screenwriting software money doesn't buy. That's CELTX. It's a free alternative to Final Draft, and it offers pretty much the same functionality. I personally use it for all my screenwriting projects, and see no reason to go back to Final Draft unless, they want to, pay me or something. Anyways, that's Celtics. Check it out, give it a try. You won't regret it.
Now, if you want to talk about the movies, we'll talk about the movie.
Okay, it's
if you want to talk about real life, we'll talk about real life.
Act 1. The dreaded writer's block. Yeah, this week has been kind of a non-writing week for me. I've managed to get a couple of blog posts out and a lot of microblogging. You know, all that Twitter, friend feed, Facebook, etc., 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 and all that boring shit. In total, I wrote about 0 pages in my script, which is unfortunate since I've had a lot of ideas since then. Just the inspiration to write hasn't been there. And it's really a tragedy. I wrote an article about this on Monday, about just methods to get to kind of write despite the void, as the article was called. Because you do have to write still, even though you don't feel anything. I was told many times in school that if you don't write every day, you're just not going to make it. I mean, a writer writes. It's a lifestyle as well as a career path. And I've taken some of that to heart, and it's been hard on weeks like this where there's just nothing in my mind. There's nothing brewing or stewing. There's nothing I can just get out. I don't know, I kind of brainstormed a few ideas on how to kind of work through the writer's block. And as a screenwriter, you're not always going to have that great idea, and you're definitely not going to have the wherewithal, the inspiration to kind of write your piece, de resistance. I came up with basically 4 methods, rough methods to kind of just spark some inspiration, or at least to get some words on the page, because if it's already on the page, that's fine. You can rewrite that, and oftentimes that's where the inspiration actually hits. But a lot of the problem is when you see that blank page, or if you're writing even, or if you're just a blogger or a fiction writer, there's a specific thing that happens when you see that blank page where your mind just goes, and there's just nothing in there. But some of these methods might help with that, some won't. I've done each one of these methods, and they've given some degree of success, so take it as you will. The first method is incentives. It sounds extremely cheesy, and it kind of is, but I reward myself for writing. This kind of goes back to like when you were in like kindergarten or not first grade. John, what are you thinking? This goes back to like kindergarten and preschool and things like that, where it was just like, you did good, you got a reward, you got a cookie, you got some snacks or something. And, for me, I've actually rewarded myself with treats, chocolates, ice cream, whatever. I've actually done the whole thing. I've even walked over to the local Dunkin' Donuts and given myself a coffee / donut mix just because I got a couple pages done. Wasn't much, but I felt some sense of accomplishment, and my tummy tum was really happy. There's another method that I've done called the white noise method, or at least I call it that, and I'm not sure it works for everybody because I could just be completely nuts and ADD. But the white noise method involves having the TV on, music playing, watching my cats run around, like distracting myself as much as I can, so then I'm actively focusing on one thing. And somehow the white noise, like just the noise around, dulls, but it helps some magical way. I don't know what it is, but I've actually gotten a lot of pages written through this method of just having something in the background. Oftentimes, it's mostly just the TV. I know I've written for school, I had to turn in a screenplay, and I wrote, I think, a good 30 pages. Of course, the script was due the next day, and I just started writing. I got like 30, 40 pages done in the evening, but I watched like 4 or 5 movies while I did it. It works, and it's definitely worth a shot. The most successful one I have come across is the internet removal method, where I turn off the little Wi-Fi on my computer, disconnect the internet for a while, and just force myself to write. The success rate on this is 100%, unless of course there are other things like TV, cats, or whatever to distract you. Like, there are outside things that can still distract you from this, but being that the internet these days is the biggest distraction, it's a successful method. So that's also worth a try. And the last thing that I've done a few times is writing groups. A few friends of mine have started up their own writing group and meet every weekend, and I haven't been able to go recently, so if they're listening, I'm sorry. But what we did was we brought whatever we had, whatever we were writing, and we just read it to the group, and we just kind of talked about it. And that was kind of inspirational, and by the end, by the time I left, I always wanted to write more, which is kind of, as a writer, a good feeling to have. And then there's another type of writing group that you could do where you or another person together in a room, and you guys just write there, like you start writing right there. And sometimes for me, like just having someone else doing writing as well helps. It feels kind of like we're working towards something, and it can be kind of inspiring in that way. So yeah, those are just a few things that have helped me through my writer's block, and I hope it'll help you. If you have any method that you use that helps you when your writing kind of stalls, let me know. You can call in, send a tweet in, friend feed in, message, like, as long as you get a hold of me, I'll maybe feature it in a future episode or something. It's definitely important, though, to write, no matter what. No matter how much or how little is in that noggin of yours. And now for words a screenwriter should never use. Today's word is prenatal. It's an adjective, meaning previous to birth or to giving birth. Prenatal care for mothers is the example. God, I gotta stop using dictionary.reference.com. This sucks. Anyways, maybe a character could say it. That's fine. I don't really give a shit. But there's really nowhere in your action text that needs this word. And I'd question your skill as a writer if you put it in there.
Nobody comes back late at night anymore. They have more security.
The government noticed that they were moving into new areas. That's when things started to get out of hand.
They don't belong here.
They're spending so much money to keep them here when they could be spending it on other things. At least they're keeping them separate from us.
A lot of bad things started to happen.
They must just go. I don't know where they go. They must just go.
We're at the breaking point. People are living in fear.
And now it's time for Act Two of our show. And this week I outsourced the movie reviewing to a friend of mine, Mike Nyer. And what follows is our Skype conversation. Enjoy.
For those of you who are wondering what's up, this is the review section. I don't have a review since I haven't seen any movies the past week because I'm a poor-ass fuck. But I've brought in someone with me today who was able to see a movie. And he's a fellow... Well, we both podcasted together before, and I'd like to introduce you, Mike. Mike Nyer.
Hello, Nyer. Nyer.
Would you like to explain a little bit about yourself to this so small of an audience?
who don't already intimately know me already, which they better should. I'm a part-time podcaster, part-time Twitterer and friend feeder and Facebooker because I don't blog, but I guess you would call that all together blogging.
It all adds up to and, a sort of a blog.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I'm a movie enthusiast, a pop culture enthusiast, so yeah, it's great to be here with my old buddy.
Yeah, it's kind of a rejoining of podcast minds, if you will.
Yes, exactly, if you will.
But yeah, no, I've brought you in today because I hear that you've seen District 9, a movie that I've been actually very curious to see, and I haven't had a chance to yet.
Yes. I actually caught it opening night, which was quite a treat. I very rarely get to do that, so I was very pleased with myself.
Did you have an idea what the plot was when you went into the film? Like, what is the story?
The best way to sum up District 9 is to say that whatever you've seen in trailers or promo materials or whatever, it has elements of that in there. That there's this world that's being assembled immediately as the movie starts, within the first 20 minutes. The best way I can really describe it, you know, going into it, I kind of expected something like something similar to, say, Black Hawk Down, sort of a mockumentary sort of style, you know, the shaky hand camera and the sort of personal storytelling and things like that. Those things are all apparent in the trailer, but once you sit down and start watching the film, it really becomes that. It takes that documentary feel to a whole nother level. It doesn't feel like, for the first hour or two of the film, it does not feel at all like it is a big Hollywood blockbuster movie. It feels very raw and gritty, and you know, once you're absorbed into the CG of the aliens, you forget that too, and it feels very real and very authentic and genuine.
Well, that's cool. I guess then the natural question next would be then what didn't work so well with the movie. I know we had talked earlier before about it, and you were just like, there are some things that didn't work. And I was just curious what your thoughts were, like some of the negatives.
Right. I'm gonna try not to be too spoilerific when I talk about this, but inevitably that will happen. So I'm gonna minimize the impact of it all. But I felt that from the sense of the trailers that District 9 would be more of an overview of the entire world that. You know, these aliens come and how it impacts the entire world. Obviously, I didn't expect to see, you know, secret meetings in, you know, government headquarters for every nation involved. But I did expect it to be a little bit more sweeping. It ends up being a much more personal and closely focused, almost a character's study, because there are very few characters that you run into in this film. I mean, yes, there are several ancillary, you know, one-off characters, but really you don't deal with more than a handful of characters, more than you know, I would, five is where the primary focus is, characters who get more than one scene, and I would think maybe 10 overall get speaking parts. So it's a very limited scope film that where but you know that that helps the film in helping you identify with the characters and their plight, but it also sort of, in a way, takes you out of the whole world. It makes it personal, and I felt maybe a little bit too personal. I would have liked it if it was a bit more of an ensemble cast in that regard.
Okay, so you basically what you're saying is that because it was so limited in its scope, it kind of goes against what the trailers themselves were saying, how it's just like it's going to be this big film.
Yeah, exactly. I like I said, I wasn't expecting, you know, Lord of the Rings, where there are 20 characters and they all have a soliloquy of some kind. But yeah, I would have liked, you know, instead of what ends up being focused, like I said, on a few characters, you know, a group of characters, a faction, something like that.
Okay. Anything else like nitpicky kind of things that could have been better? I mean, even down to a story standpoint. Since this is a screenwriting podcast.
I think, and yeah, that was actually going to be my next point in terms of story. It sort of changes tones, maybe 2/3 of the way through. It starts out being this one movie, which is it has almost a political tone to it, a very socially aware and political. There's a lot of commentary going on in the early portions of the film. Again, without giving out too much away, you sort of see the conditions of which the aliens live and the attitudes and reactions that which human characters have towards the aliens, and that's sort of almost one portion of the film. And then the second portion or the final act becomes this grand sweeping action film, and sort of the important messages which are brought out in the first part of the film they're never really resolved into it. It becomes a different movie. I love the action parts, and it's necessary for the way the plot progresses and the way the story is being told. But you know, if the story had been more focused again on not just a simple action thing of we need to do A so we can accomplish B, and instead, you know, we need to solve these social problems. We need to solve these issues, maybe not completely, but you know, an effort to solve them, that would have been, I think, more satisfying in the end. You know, that you're sort of left hanging, like right. In the end, there is no resolution for all these problems which we saw.
Well, thanks for joining me in this little section of the podcast. I think I'll probably start doing this more, getting more people in. Where can people find you these days on the interwebs?
Well, like I said, I don't have a blog, but that may be coming soon. We'll see what happens there. I'm in the process of a few projects, but right now probably the best place to find me is pretty much any website: twitter.com, frenfi.com, facebook.com, any of those websites. You put in / Mike Nyar, NAYYAR, and you'll probably be able to find me somewhere, or just Google me. Come on, that's the only thing you really need to do is Google somebody anymore.
Exactly, or else we might find the other Mike Nyar out there, the bizarro Mike Nyar.
there is one. You mock, but there is one.
Oh dear.
Why are you here? Why don't you just leave? How do your weapons work?
I just want everyone watching this right now to learn from what has happened.
And now on to Act 3 of the podcast, questions and discussion. There weren't any questions this week, but I'd like to bring up a discussion point, and I'm very curious to see what kind of feedback I get, or what kind of opinions are thrown my way. And it's about the differences between premium television and cable television. And what I mean by that is HBO versus TNT, Showtime versus TBS. All these channels all do their own specific programming, and some are good and some aren't good. And I'm just curious what you think the big difference is between the two of them. For me, I prefer mostly the premium channels, HBO, the Showtime, because their TV shows are almost like there's a lot more work put into the shows. The budgets are higher. The cast is better, I would say, on the whole. And granted, there are some exceptions, you know, like Arrested Development and The Office, things along those lines. But just like the difference between a genre show like Heroes on NBC and then a genre show like True Blood on HBO, there's just mountains of difference between the two. One is complete and utter shit, and one has superheroes. Ha ha ha, just kidding. No, I actually like True Blood. That aside, I'm just curious to see what your thoughts are. All answers to this should go to my voicemail at 773-980-COMG. I would like to hear you personally talk about this, giving your thoughts or whatever. But if you can't, or don't want to hear your voice on the podcast, just send an email to jonathan.hardesty@gmail.com. Or send a Twitter to GRRScreenplay. That's capital G, triple R, lowercase screenplay. And that about wraps it up for this week's episode of The Disgruntled Screenwriter. And with that, I bid you all a fucking farewell, jerks. I don't blame the Beach Boys. Don't blame Hollywood. I don't blame L.A., though I probably should. I don't blame the sky for its careless shade of blue. Lord knows I don't blame. Lord knows I don't blame you. Lord knows. I hate California. I hate California. I hate California. I hate California.